This is Jim Fossone with Veterans Radio America and Legal Help for Veterans, a veterans disability law firm. And considering today's environment where war memorials and statues in the public square are being removed, I had the opportunity to ask the senior historian at the National World War II Museum in New Orleans, Robert Citano, what were his thoughts as a historian about removing such war memorials? Listen to what he had to say. And before I let you go, I guess I want to ask a historian. There's a lot of...
This ought to be good.
Yeah, this is...
I'm ready, man.
There's been a lot of controversy in the country at the moment about the role that war memorials or memorials to certain generals and others should play in society. How do you look at that controversy that's currently going on?
Yeah, so we've had to look at it here in New Orleans. I know there's currently a movement to take down statues, and some are being taken down by regular process, and some are being dragged down. But you know, we had a big statue to Robert E. Lee right near the museum on a big tall pillar overlooking the city in so-called Lee Circle. But, you know, our mayor at the time, it was Mitch Landrieu, decided that, the monument to a Confederate general just had no place in a modern city that, you know, had a majority African-American population. And, you know, they took down that statue. There's still a naked pillar, and there's a debate where Lee stood. There's a debate over who they should put up there. I hear suggestions of Louis Armstrong, great musician, Leah Chase, great restaurateur down here in New Orleans. You know that this is a city that's famous for a lot of things, but many of them involve music and food. So maybe there is some sense to that. But, you know, I mean, I think in a broader sense, Jim, when I look at this movement right now, particularly as it affects war memorials, you know, times change. What was acceptable to one generation might not be acceptable to another generation. I get that. The other argument is you're just erasing history. Why don't you just leave it there and use it as a teaching tool? If you think it has a negative implication, you know, you're never going to be able to teach that negative implication again. But I think in the larger sense, what this proves to me is how false it is when Americans of all sorts, and you've heard them say this, say no one cares about history anymore. You can't get anyone interested in history anymore. Americans today are profoundly and deeply interested in their own history. And I think that's the good news coming out of all the troubles, I guess, that we're seeing, the troubled mood of the nation at once. You know, people will compromise over almost anything, but apparently not over their views of history. And I think that's the issue we're kind of trying to work our way through right now.
Well, I do think we have to work our way through it. And maybe a little bit of this is we don't teach enough history, or we haven't taught history the right way. And this time of troubles, as you mentioned, will give us an opportunity to reevaluate the importance of teaching history and teaching all and every aspect of the history of a particular event or events.
And good point. I mean, I think one of the lessons of teaching history is that it's got to be warts and all. If you're not looking at some of the negative impacts of your past, look, you all know on the individual level, we've all had moments in our lives, some we're really proud of, and some we say, boy, I didn't handle that well. Well, that's true of larger communities as well, and it's probably, I would say, true of nations. So any history has to be taught warts and all. I don't think anybody should ever argue for kind of prettying up or tidying up your own history. And again, I just think it's the argument about what some of those parts of American history are that's really generating some of this action in the streets today.
Well, in this conversation you and I are having, it makes me think that part of our problem is we've said to our teachers, well, you only get 3 days to talk about World War II.
And
it's hard to do warts and all when you have to cover such an extensive topic. And so maybe all you end up doing is hitting the highlights, and the highlights seem to gloss over it. And we miss that opportunity to evaluate it from all angles, possibly.
I would say one thing. Teachers, grade school, elementary, and then middle school, and then secondary, and all the way up to the ranks of the professoriate in college, they get a bad rap. I was a professor for a little over 30 years of my career before I came to the museum. And I have a lot of friends who teach high school. I have a lot of friends who teach grade school. And they're some of the hardest working people you're ever going to meet in your life. And you're quite right. They're often given a kind of impossible task. We got so much of this to do. You got to do this. State mandates you to do that. But they do a good job and they do it honorably and to the best of their ability. And I just, you know, I'd be remiss right now within this discussion of how we teach history. I would never want to make it seem as if somehow I'm blaming teachers, because I think they're some of the hardest working and greatest Americans alive today.
No, I agree. I'm not. What I'm suggesting is that our construct is you have such a limited period of time, teacher. This is all you can do. And yeah. I think maybe we have done society a disservice by taking a real discussion of history or the Civil War and compressing it down to something that where all you can really do in the time available is sure. You should at least know Abraham Lincoln was involved in the Civil War. That's all I've got time for.
But you know what? It would help if you know that Ulysses S. Grant was on the side of the Union. Because apparently there was some move to tear down a Grant statue recently. And the great architect of victory of the Civil War, the greatest military commander on the side of the North, the man responsible more than any other for bringing down the South. So I definitely agree with that. But again, I do agree with you. I think sometimes it is a thankless task and everybody's got their eyes on the clock. And how many more days do we have in the semester? And how many more hours do I have today? And it's hard to balance everything you need to do within that limited time. I think that's really an issue. Not sure what the solution is to it, Jim, but that definitely is an issue.
Well, we want to thank you for your time today, Robert, and talking to Veterans Radio about the National World War II Museum in New Orleans.
Fantastic, Jim. This is a great conversation. Call on me anytime and hope to see you down here sometime.
And I want to thank everybody for listening to Veterans Radio today. I am Jim Fossone. It's been a pleasure to be your host. I'm a veterans disability lawyer at Legal Help for Veterans, and you can reach us at 800-693-4800 or legalhelpforveterans.com on the web. You can follow Veterans Radio on Facebook and listen to its podcasts and internet radio shows by going to veteransradio.net. And until next time, you are dismissed.
If you have a VA claim denied by the Board of Veterans Appeals, contact Legal Help for Veterans at 1-800-693-4800. They're experts in handling cases before the U.S. Court of Appeals for Veterans Claims. Their number again, 1-800-693-4800.
Veterans Radio needs you. If you like our shows that are informative, surprising stories, and relevant information on what's happening at the VA and the military, we'd like your support. Individual support of $5 to $50 a month or corporate sponsorship of $1,000 to $10,000 would be welcomed. You can go to veteransradio.net, click on the sponsorship or support tab, pay online, and keep Veterans Radio on the air.